Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am awfully glad you joined me today. I feel like I say that all the time, but it's true because I love our time together, just so you know. We've got a great hour coming up. Rob Bluey usually is on the program on Tuesday, and he's had a couple of obligations come up this week. So he specifically put Rachel Del Judas in his place today. We're going to be chatting with her in just a minute. And then Trillia Newbell, and if you've ever heard Trillia before, you know how absolutely delightful she is. She's written a book on a Bible study that's all about Romans chapter 8. And I have paged through it and looked at it, and it looks to be fantastic. So that is what is coming up. And I want to thank Dr. Mark Muska for coming into the studio and being, as usual, so fantastic and interesting and engaging. And he answered all the questions that came in, I think with exception of one, and one he wanted to do a little bit more research on, but I love his honesty and candor. So thanks again, Dr. Mark Muska. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, Rachel is going to be with us for the first time. We're looking forward to meeting her.
Today, this station stands as a monument to answered prayer and the sacrificial giving of the greatest gang of students, and faculty, and staff, I believe, anywhere in all the world today.
I remember seeing Dr. Graham there at the station, and the students raised a lot of money, about $50,000, and a lot of the GIs gave out their whole checks. But I remember watching the very first part of the Hour of Decision and Dr. Graham there in the station preaching and so forth in the studios. And it was just a wonderful experience to do, you know, and to share and to see what happened. And I had a lot of interesting early stages with the station. And so I'm glad it's going extremely well.
Celebrating 70 years of ministry, Faith Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I have Rachel Del Judas on the line. She is a reporter with the Daily Signal. And she is stepping in today for our friend Rob Bluey, who I think recently got a big fat promotion over at the Daily Signal. I'm anxious to talk to Rob about it, but I think he's got the word executive now on his business card, which is exciting. Anyway, Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Are you kidding? I can't wait to have you on. So tell me about Rob's new title. What is it called again?
So he's the executive editor of the Daily Signal here at Heritage. The Daily Signal is a media outlet. He'll be continuing to oversee what's produced here in the Daily Signal. But Kate Trinko, who was the managing editor, is now the editor, and she's taking on more of a role to free up Rob for his other communications duties. So she'll be more involved, but Rob will still be at the helm. He'll still be doing hits like this on your show, Bill, and other media.
Oh.
So he's doing more. He's getting more on his plate, but still very much involved.
I know he can't avoid me. He signed a 19-year contract with me. He doesn't know it, but he did.
But he did.
So I've got a team of lawyers that would say yes. In fact, he did. So he's not going anywhere. But I am so delighted to have you on. I would love to start talking about this wonderful $5.1 million grant to the pro-life community clinics. This, to me, is an article you wrote, and I can't tell you how excited I am about this.
I'm very excited about it, too. It was actually really exciting and hopeful to hear. I know your listeners are aware, and you're aware, there's so much been going on in the world that is, you know, attacks on the sanctity of life. We've seen New York want to legalize abortion up to birth, and states like Virginia and Rhode Island pursue similar legislation. So seeing HHS say we're actually going to give $5.1 million to this network of community clinics that support women in crisis pregnancies and want to give them all the help and resources and medication that they need while still being very committed to the dignity of life is so very exciting. In Umbria, they have 21 health clinics and 11 mobile clinics in 5 states. They don't perform abortions, but they are there to work with and support women who need that help. And these clinics are staffed by medical professionals, so it's not an institution that merely gives out, you know, baby formula and, you know, that kind of assistance. They are actually there for the women, giving them medical care and helping them through a very hard time in their life. So it just announced on Friday that Umbria will be receiving 3 years of Title X family planning funding. It's $5.1 million to expand their services. And Umbria does serve low-income individuals and families. So that's just very exciting to hear for the pro-life movement that these organizations that are, you know, very talented, they've got medical professionals that work in them, they're going to be supported by this grant, which is very exciting to see.
Yeah. Rachel, let's just celebrate the Obria group a little bit. That's O-B-R-I-A. And like you said, they have 21 health clinics and 15 mobile clinics in 5 states, and they do not perform abortions. So here the good news is, in addition to that, women can walk into a place where they can receive comprehensive medical services, and they never have to darken the door of a Planned Parenthood again.
Right, that they don't have to do that. And the founder of Obria, Kathleen O'Brien, she was saying, our goal is to basically say that we want to be a model of comprehensive, holistic medical clinics, so that a woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, she doesn't have to subject herself to going to an abortion clinic or going to a facility that she might not agree with all of the different procedures that they do there, such as abortion. And it frees up women to, deal with, you know, an instance in their life if they're dealing with an unplanned pregnancy or some other health condition that maybe they weren't prepared for or maybe they were expecting, but it's still a difficult time for them. Obria is, you know, stepping right into help them, which is just so great to see.
Yeah, and aren't we impressed that they founded their clinics in 2012 and where they're at?
Yes.
You know,
just a few short years.
Yeah, they have really sprung up, and they must be doing a lot of things really well, because that's mm-hmm. impressive.
It is so impressive. And Kathleen Bravo, she was telling me, she's the founder of Obria, that they want to expand Obria's reach with this grant, which is very exciting. And I know a lot of us seeing these in our own communities where people would love to have an institution like this to serve women. She wants to expand their brand name. They just want to get out there and develop more clinics across the country. And she also said that her goal with this grant as well is to network more with other organizations similar to hers, maybe not quite as advanced. And she is hoping to work with them and unite the pro-life movement so that institutions like hers, crisis pregnancy centers or other centers that do offer some medical help, that they can kind of come on the bandwagon of Obria that does offer this like full medical licensing service. And so these institutions can come together and serve women and be a stronger force, stronger together in the pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, now, I know you wrote this article for the Daily Signal, and readers can go to dailysignal.com. You are very passionate about this.
I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you hear when I hear you talk about this, I'm wondering, do you feel like you've got a lot of other young women like yourself that are as excited about this?
I really believe there are. Going back to, you know, I graduated from school not even 3 years ago, so it's been about 2.5 years, and I was very involved in the pro-life movement in my school, and I have friends that I went to school with and also friends I work at the Heritage Foundation and the Daily Signal here in Washington, D.C., that have basically taken their passion for the pro-life movement and are now, you know, working to advance it in their professional careers. One friend of mine, she actually, one of the most beautiful stories I know, her mom became pregnant with her as an unwed student and ended up keeping her child. And now my friend is working for women conservative candidates in government, helping basically further their pro-life conservative policy work, which is so exciting to see. So I would just encourage people, this is such a pivotal time for our country as different states, you know, grapple with legalizing abortion up to birth and other attacks against life. And there are so many people like Kathleen at Obria and like my friend who was almost aborted herself, that there is such a passion and do get involved, because I see it all the time. And it's encouraging, especially with instances like Obria receiving this funding, that the pro-life movement is very much alive and well across the country.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, I think it'd probably be a good time to talk a little bit about the movie Unplanned, which surprised everybody, including people in Hollywood, that took in $6.4 million at the box office last weekend, which was nearly double what they thought. And they probably misunderstood the human condition, which says if you try to cut advertising and not let people have access to it, they're going to only be more interested in it.
Exactly. You are very right. And I have to say, I think the same thing to a degree goes for Twitter. I'm not sure if your listeners heard about this, but this past weekend when the movie came out, the Unplanned Twitter account had some issues. And I don't know, Twitter has been kind of unclear. I feel like the jury is still out on what exactly happened. But for a time being, Unplanned's Twitter account was basically taken off of Twitter. And I had been following the Unplanned Twitter account for months, probably. And when all of this was happening on Saturday, I checked my Twitter and I had been unfollowed from their account. So I had click followed like months ago. And then I had checked it on Saturday and I was, lo and behold, not following them. So I think your point with advertising goes the same for social media. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether, I think Twitter had said that someone with a similar account had been violating Twitter rules, and that's why the Unplanned Twitter account had been taken down for the time being. That was what they had said. I'm still not sure what exactly was going on. I think they're still looking at the situation. But what ended up happening, I think before all of this happened on Saturday, Unplanned this past week, they had about 4,000 followers on Twitter, don't quote me, but it was only a couple thousand. Now they have over 300,000, and they've surpassed Planned Parenthood in Twitter followers, which is incredible to see how you're right. When the others in society try to sometimes mask what, you know, the truth is and what people are doing to try to expose the truth, that what they're trying to do to mask the truth, sometimes the general public just takes notice and, you know, they're kind of shot in the foot by finding actually people do care about this issue. And even if we're going to try to mask it, they're going to find ways to get around it. So it is incredible to see the success they've had. I think one of the greatest things about the movie Unplanned is that it shows the American audience the evil of abortion. Abortion is, I've noticed in, you know, being in high school and college and even here in D.C., it can be a taboo topic, even among Christians, and people feel uncomfortable talking about it. And I think it tells a story in such a way that, like Abby Johnson, the stories about her, she was basically essentially marketed to at a college fair, and Planned Parenthood came to her and said, you know, we were here to help women. And Abby told them, well, I'm pro-life. I think my family is pro-life too. You know, I don't really believe in abortion. They're like, well, we want to reduce the number of abortions. And so Abby was just drawn into this lie, and she ended up building a career on it. She was one of the youngest female Planned Parenthood directors in Planned Parenthood history. And one day she was assisting in an abortion, and it was her first time actually seeing what abortion really was, and she was horrified, and it caused her to think about this, and she ended up leaving Planned Parenthood and now is a fantastic pro-life advocate. So I would encourage each and every one of your listeners, go see the film. We're all from different backgrounds and different stories, but it tells the story in such a way where no one, it doesn't condemn anyone. It just, you know, shows people the plain truth of abortion and kind of lets them be the judge and jury and decide, you know, is this really a good thing for our country? And is this a good thing for women and their children?
Rachel, you're like 100% good news, which is, I never get that from Rob. Rob never gives me 100% good news. So if I were Rob Bluey, I'd be nervous right now.
This weekend of good days.
Yeah, let me take
well,
a little...
Actually, yeah, I mean...
Let me take a little break, if you don't mind. Rachel Del Judas is my guest. We'll take a little break. She's from the Daily Signal. We'll be right back. back to the show. I'm so delighted to be talking to Rachel Del Judas. She is from the Daily Signal. Go to dailysignal.com to see her picture and read all of her reporting and writing. As you know, we love the Daily Signal. And my weekly guest is Rob Bluey, who is quite the muckety-muck over there right now. He's like the executive something-something-something in charge of the Daily Signal. So he's got the day off. Rachel has been nice enough to step in. And the are the cherry blossoms out?
The cherry blossoms are out. They are beautiful.
I bet.
They're in peak bloom this week, so everything is very fluffy and pink and beautiful. But people are getting allergies because of the blossoms coming out. So we have the beauty of the blossoms, but also we're kind of feeling the pain in our sinuses. But it is gorgeous over here. The Supreme Court, the Capitol Building, the Tidal Basin. It's kind of like just a beautiful fluffy pink everywhere. So.
Right, right. Now, Vice President Joe Biden is still looking at running for president of the United States, but he's got a little bit of a problem on his hands. What kind of issues in the Me Too era do you think he's up against? What does he have to deal with?
Well, it's really interesting to see here. So several women have come out and accusing him of inappropriately touching them. We've all seen pictures of the former vice president kind of fondling and hugging and weirdly touching women and girls. And it's interesting to see because when now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh was being accused of sexual misconduct during his Senate confirmation hearings, there were so many in the media that said, oh, we need to believe these women who are accusing him. And they all were very pro-Me Too. They were saying, you know, this is our Me Too moment. I want to contrast, though, with, you know, that with what's happening with Joe Biden, because I don't know if your listeners are familiar, but Alyssa Milano, she's a pretty famous actress in Hollywood that is in a lot of various films. And so when Kavanaugh was being accused of sexual misconduct, she tweeted, quote, "I believe Dr. Christine Blasey Ford." But when these allegations surfaced on Biden, she was very significantly more cautious in her recognition of the allegations. And this is what she said. She said, "I respect Lucy Flores' decision to share her story and agree with Biden that we all must pay attention to her story. But just as we must believe that women decide to, you know, we must believe when women decide to come forward, we cannot assume that all women's experiences are the same." So I think it's interesting how people's opinions shift when it's a person that they believe in and support, like she does Joe Biden, versus someone that she was reportedly against because people thought that Kavanaugh might strike down Roe versus Wade or something else. So I think all of this is still kind of to be determined. We need to investigate these allegations and see if they're actually in fact true, and if Joe Biden, you know, has done some things that would negate him being able to run for president. But I do think it is very telling that we have these media elites and actors and actresses coming out and saying, oh, we need to believe all women when it's in regards to Justice Kavanaugh. But now when it comes to Vice President, former Vice President Joe Biden, like, oh, well, not every woman's account is the same. So we need to kind of like take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm. What do they call that? Like double standards? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. I think it'd be called double standard.
I've heard of that. That actually is real in politics, isn't it?
It is. We're seeing it's very real. And I think for people like Melissa Milano and others, if they do actually want to be seen as credible figures in the Me Too movement, which I would honestly believe that they do want to be seen as credible figures, they need to treat, you know, women who come forward accusing people like Justice Kavanaugh the same as they would former Vice President Joe Biden. Because if they show favoritism and say, well, we're going to believe this woman's account over that woman's account, especially when the women on Kavanaugh's account, there was no corroboration there. Whereas with former Vice President Joe Biden, there are pictures of him being, as some people would say, mildly inappropriate. So you need to believe all women when there is corroboration and facts there.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, when I think of the 2020 election just around the corner, it actually makes my gums a little irritated. And I just want you to know I brush properly, so it must be real. And now we're talking about President Trump is repealing or replacing Obamacare, a promise that he's had for a long, long time. But now he's saying it's probably not going to happen until after the election. So they must be in full swing in Washington, D.C. for 2020 election already.
They are in full swing. And I think, as you mentioned, this is something that conservative lawmakers have been promising for years on end. And I mean, honestly, I think that conservative politicians, they do need to put their money where their mouth is and actually take a vote on this. President Trump is saying that if they do vote to repeal and replace Obamacare, it will have to be after the 2020 elections, when he's saying that Republicans will hold the Senate and win back the House. And that's probably the only way they would be able to repeal Obamacare. But I think it's important to note that this is something that needs to happen, because Obamacare has led to years of increasing cost and decreasing choices for people. Premiums have doubled in the first 4 years of the program, and millions of people have lost their coverage that President Obama said that they'd be able to keep. So this is something that conservative politicians have been promising. And I think if they do retain the Senate and bring back the House, and they do not vote on repealing Obamacare, I think all of the American people will take note, and they're going to see the American people's frustration in the polls later if they, you know, they've kept promising to do this and they haven't delivered on it. So I think that they'd better deliver on it if they want to see, if they want to continue to hold office.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, you're a young woman, having just graduated from college 2.5 years ago, and socialism is trending in America. So explain to me and the listeners why socialism is gaining so much popularity, especially among young people.
Yeah, see, socialism is gaining so much popularity because you have people like freshman Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying that, you know, we want to give people free things, free healthcare, free college education, and free things sound nice to everyone. And that's why they're looking at kind of like the bumper sticker logic of it, or lack of logic, just the, you know, the nice sound of it versus what actually, you know, happens when people implement socialist policies. And we don't have to look any further, honestly, than Venezuela. They used to be the richest country, one of the richest countries in South America. And now moms in South America or Venezuela cannot even get proper medicine for their children and healthcare and even food because of the socialist policies that have been implemented there. So it sounds nice, but we've seen in other countries around the world that it leads to ruin and countries losing their economic prosperity. So I think we need to pay attention to the rhetoric that's being used, and we need to take history as an example and see that any place that this has been implemented in the past, it's only gone down a bad route of a poor economy. And if we want to improve healthcare here and other institutions and not jeopardize them, we need to address the underlying problems of those issues and not just implement socialist policies that will be sure to bring ruin to this country.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, you have been absolutely a delight. Thank you so much for doing the show. Rachel Del Judas has been my guest. She's from the Daily Signal. She's kind of sitting in today for our friend Rob Bluey. He'll be returning, I'm sure, in the next week or two. So, Rachel, thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good one.
You bet. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with lots more in just a minute. Show. I am delighted to be bringing Trillia Newbell onto the show. She needs no introduction, but I'll give you one anyway. She's the author of the kids' book, God's Very Good Idea, as well as Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts, Fear and Faith, Finding the Peace Your Heart Craves. It goes on and on. She's a regular blogger, writer, and contributor to many different publications like Christianity Today, The Gospel Coalition, and many more. She's a much sought-after speaker at conferences all around the country, the world for that matter, and she's got a new book called If God Is For Us. It's a 6-week Bible study of Romans 8. Trillia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you for that introduction. It's really kind.
Well, it's all true, and I you know, I don't want to try to help you sell books today, but I'm buying 6 of them myself.
Well, thank you.
Because I want this to be what my Bible study is going to do coming up.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's so encouraging.
I think this is a great book. It's well laid out. It's accessible. And it's Romans 8, which I think we can't get to Romans 8 soon enough as a Bible study.
Oh, that's incredible. I agree.
Yeah, oh, no, I agree too.
Me, yeah. Romans 8 is such a rich chapter.
Yeah. Now, do you want me to keep selling the book, or do you want to talk about it yourself? Because I'm happy. I'm happy to keep going.
Well, you can keep going, but I would love to engage as well.
Okay. Well, and of course, you've got some wonderful endorsements. I know Dr. Tim Keller loves it, and I'm a big fan of his. And Karen Ellis, I love Karen Ellis, and Jen Wilkin. I mean, so all the right names show up on the endorsements, and I think it's quite an accomplishment. The whole thing is beautiful, including the cover. So nice work.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So why dig into Romans 8?
Well, you kind of explained it. You did.
All right. That wraps up our interview.
Thanks so much for talking.
Yeah. Well, have a good day.
It is so rich, and I think there are so many promises and assurances of our faith in these texts. But even beyond some of the things that we all know, maybe three, there is therefore now no condemnation.
Yes.
Who shall come against us, etc. We know a few of them.
Yes.
There's so much more in the text about life in the Spirit and being empowered, and that we approach God as his child, and we can say, cry out, Abba, Father, and what does that mean? And so there's so much in it that I wanted to for myself, just sit in it and then share it with others.
Mm-hmm. Trillia, you talk about how important it is for a mature Christian to completely devour this chapter, to understand it, and to be able to know what's in it and how it applies to your life.
Well, a mature Christian, I think, because you're learning about what is life in the Spirit, how do we put off the flesh because we still battle with sin, and what does that power look like? And then understanding that we are going to suffer. We are going to suffer in the Christian life. So I think often or sometimes you think, oh, you become a Christian, happy-go-lucky. No, that's not the life that we're promised. And so what does it look like to be assured of God's faithfulness and nearness and suffering, and that it's momentary, and to be reminded of that? And so that's all in this text. And then the assurance of Christ's love for us and our salvation, and that we can rest in that. So I think sometimes we think the gospel's for the unbeliever. No, the gospel's for us. The gospel's for everyone, anyone who believes and those who do not believe. So we need to be reassured of our faith. And Romans 8 does all of that.
Mm-hmm. Trillia, is it good advice for someone who's listening to this to race to their Bible to read Romans 8? Is it smart to sit down and just read the whole book of Romans just to get things in the right perspective and context?
I think if you had to race through and read Romans 8, you would be fed because
okay.
God is so faithful in his word. But I do think that reading the entire book of Romans and getting the context of Romans 8 is important. It's important for understanding the text. It's important to understand and see some of the repeated themes. So, for example, some of the things that you see in the rhetorical questions at the end, you're going to see in Romans 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to know these things. So I would encourage someone, if you're going to read Romans 8, read the whole book and read what, especially if Romans 1 through 7 to just lead up to Romans 8, because the second half of the book is though all applicable, different. It's in, and so I think it's important to read the Bible in the context, in its full context.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone has 10 minutes and that's all they have, I say read Romans 8 too.
I love it. All right, let's set the stage for the book of Romans just for the listeners, just to get them fully excited. Who wrote the book of Romans?
Paul,
okay. And approximately when was it written?
Oh, goodness. Well, I didn't know. Let me look. Was it AD 64? I don't remember.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yes.
That is my memory. So I'm...
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go with that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. So.
I know.
And then who was the book of Romans written to?
Okay, so Paul writes to churches.
Yes.
So he's writing to the church of Rome. And so he's writing to Christians, which I think a lot of people, because they think of, or some people. They think of Romans and they think of the maybe the Romans Road or whatnot. And, but he's writing to Christians.
Okay, let's talk about some of the things that would normally trip people up as they're reading Romans. What are some red flags that come up that people have come to you with and said, boy, I read Romans and I keep hearing about the circumcision and I'm going, oh, what is that?
Yeah, okay, well, I think a lot of people don't understand Old Testament references or the law and what how the law applies to the faith and what is it between the Jew and the Greek and what is all. So mm-hmm. I do think that a lot of people would come to this book with and be confused potentially, but God is not a God of confusion. So I think I still believe because he says little children can know my gospel that people can come to the book and you might just have to read it slowly. Here's some tips. Most Bibles have places where you can cross-reference. They'll have little numbers where you can look and research and go back to another text so that you can gain more understanding. And so there's different ways for us to understand God's word. So I think one is cross-referencing, making mm-hmm. sure that so that you can understand. You can also you can use the Bible to explain the Bible.
Of course.
You can also use commentaries, and there's other resources out there. I do hope that my Bible study will help guide people through the text slowly so that people can gain understanding and better understand what the text means. So, and then, of course, the Spirit. Pray that the Lord would reveal his word to you.
Yes.
And because he's faithful and he's good to do that. So there's lots of things. Even in Romans 8 itself, one lady ask me or tell me that some people skip parts of Romans 8 because it talks about predestination. And so there's lots of things that you would have to wrestle with and that's what's the beauty, I think, of God's word in general. So much of it, we are reading and wrestling and asking God, okay, what does this mean and why? And one day we'll see him face to face and we'll be like, okay, Lord, what did you really mean?
Mm-hmm.
What did you really mean by this text? And I think it'll be great.
Yeah. When I think of Romans 8 and verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, there's a sense of belonging, a sense of adoption, the sense of being part of God's family, where you're not even eligible to be led by the Spirit until you're part of the family of God. Am I interpreting that right?
Yes. So that's I think, one of the reasons why it's important to understand the context and who he's talking to. He's
mm-hmm.
saying, Christian,
yes.
you are led by the Spirit because you know God and you have been filled with his Spirit and you are his child. And so one of the things that I encourage people to do is as you finish reading Romans 8, you're going to, if by God's grace, you're going to understand that God, he has given us so much through his Son, through his Spirit. And we can not keep this to ourselves.
No, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and so we want to go and tell it to the world because that's why I'm thinking of Romans 1 where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And so I want to take all this knowledge and be encouraged, built up, and assured, and then go share it with others.
Yeah.
Because it relates to me, but it doesn't relate to everyone.
It's almost truly like we should talk about this on a radio show.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's talk about freedom from the spirit of slavery, that we did not receive this spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Let's talk about how we have freedom and why it's so vital to understand that.
Yes, we are not bound to our old ways. We are not bound to our sin, and we don't have to say yes.
We have power because of the Spirit to say no, to resist temptation so that we do not fall into sin. And in Corinthians, one of them, first or second, it says that we have a way of escape. Jesus has provided a way of escape. And so the Spirit enables us to identify sin and to resist the flesh and the temptations that we have. And again, Paul writes in Romans that we battle. There's a battle there that sometimes we'll say yes, or when I want to do right, wrong is right there with me. Mm-hmm. And so I think we want to just be aware of that and know that we don't have to be a slave to sin. We have God on our side, fighting for us, and we can also resist the flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Trillia, I know that there's many people in their faith journey are not quite sure that they're part of the family of God, and I love Romans 8:16 that says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and I know I'm a child of God. I know because I know because I know.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. I think there's a few reasons why people will battle. One, just doubt, struggle with doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Others would struggle with condemnation, which is why I think it's so important. We're going to sin, so it's important to remember that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we do sin, we repent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us. So we repent of our sin, and we confess it in turn. But so those are a few things. But a good sign, I think, obviously, God, He does that work. And one way He witnesses is if there is a tension there, when you sin and you're not just okay with it, but there is something battling in your spirit, and you know that it grieves the Lord, and so you're going to run to Him with that. Then you can be you can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ and confess that sin. So I do think that the Spirit, it bears witness, and one way it does is through conviction and our active pursuit of confession and repentance.
Mm-hmm. Trillia Newbell is my guest, and her book is If God is For Us. It's The Everlasting Truth of Our Great Salvation. It is a six-week Bible study of Romans 8, which I'm holding in my hand, which I can't wait to buy 5 more copies of. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Trillia in just a minute. I have Trillia Newbell on the studio line. She's the author of Envy, Joy, and Faith United and the children's book God's Very Good Idea. She is currently the director of community outreach for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention. And Trillia, as I'm looking over your Bible study, your six-week Bible study of Romans, I'm very excited about it because I love Romans. I love Romans 8. And when I look at Romans 8, verse 17, I'm reminded that it says, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Suffering is something that gets hard to talk about in the world today. Nobody wants to do it.
Yes, no one wants to talk about suffering, and no one wants to experience it. We don't want to suffer, but we will suffer, and it's enduring in that suffering with the Lord and knowing that we have a God who is for us, I think that helps us. And then reminding ourselves that it's momentary. It's not going to last forever, and that our suffering has an expiration date. We can one day, there will be no more suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's something just sweet to remember that we, and to remember that we have a Savior who is a man of sorrows. So he relates to our suffering. He's been tempted in every way, but without sin. And so I think also knowing that we're not alone in our suffering, that we have a Savior we can run to in our suffering and who understands is helps us get through it. But we do not want to talk about it because it's hard. But if I think one thing we need to understand is it's universal. Everyone is suffering in some way or has or will.
Mm-hmm. So, Trulia, encourage us to look at the big picture, because in Romans 8, 18 and 19, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." So we've got incredible, inexplainable joy ahead. So let's just keep the big picture in mind.
Absolutely. We have, take our eyeballs and pull. That's kind of vulgar, I guess.
I love it. I didn't. I started laughing before you even told me where to put the eyeballs.
Put them towards heaven.
Yes, just there we go.
Have an eternal perspective. And I do think reminding ourselves of eternity is a helpful way to endure in suffering, that it is not lasting and that it produces character, and character produces, which is a totally different scripture, but it all relates because it's God's word. And so I want people and myself to always fix our eyes on this prize of and glory that is to come. And remember that God does. He does good things now as well. He gives us tastes of it, whether it's moments of these rainbows where we get to remember and see, or something beautiful today. He, in his kindness, he does that. But in the text, he does point us towards an eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's, so it is not worth comparing.
Yeah. Trulia, let's talk about, as we get later into the Romans chapter 8, this is when I get really excited, because in 26 it says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." That's one of the most mind-blowing verses in all of Scripture.
No, it's so great. I want to hear you talk about it.
It
is mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, we're in front of an all-powerful, all-loving God, and sometimes in our human, futile state, we don't know how to approach or what to say, but believe me, we've got someone on our behalf going in our place and interceding in prayer. That's just so thrilling.
It is thrilling. And to think that we don't have to be strong. It's in our weakness that we can come before the Lord. And we don't have to have lofty, wonderful, articulate words. We don't have to come to the Lord with the right things to say. He knows what we need, and our groaning sometimes are too deep for words, and we can't articulate and fully express what we are trying to say to God. But he knows, and he intercedes. We've got an advocate in the Savior, Jesus. And so I think it's so encouraging to think that the Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know what to pray.
I agree. And then, of course, Romans 8:28 is one that most of us know either from memory, or we've heard it a million times, or we've used it as advice or counsel to others, that all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Very important to put that part of the verse in. It's often misused, it's a difficult verse that you have to work hard to completely and fully understand it correctly. Do I have that right?
No, yep, you're exactly right. All things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
But all things work together for good doesn't always mean all things work together for the way you think. And so we've got to make sure that we understand that God, who is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-wise, is working for our good, regardless of what it may look like. It just may seem like a strange path towards this goodness, but it is good. God's not going to do things that are not ultimately for our good. And so we can rest and trust him.
Mm-hmm. And with our time remaining, Trillia, just a couple of minutes, let's talk about Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
God is for us. God is, he is not just standing in the gap. He is on our side. And there is absolutely no one and nothing that can thwart his good plans for us. Those rhetorical questions, the rest of them are amazing. It's amazing to think that no one can bring a charge, that no one can come against, that nothing can separate us. God is completely and totally for us. If he sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross, bearing the wrath that we deserve, why wouldn't he do all things and give all things? And that's what this, it's amazing, this great salvation, what has God has accomplished through his son for us. And to know that the God of the universe is not only this set apart holy God, but he is our Abba Father who is for us.
Mm-hmm. And I love that nothing will separate us from his love. Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's a great memory verse, and I memorized it years and years ago, and I pray it in my head and in my heart weekly.
It's great. I mean, we need to be reminded in our that it is about love. Ultimately, all of this, all of everything he has done and what he does is his love for his people, and nothing can separate us from that.
Yeah. Now, Trillia, I'm going to encourage my Bible study to do this, take this project on. It's a 6-week Bible study of Romans 8, and it's an all-guy study, but we'd be willing to make an exception if you'd like to come join us.
Fly me up. Oh, come on. That would be amazing.
It's just a delight, Trillia, to talk to you, and it's really nice to have this book in my hands. It's going to be a great resource. I'm looking forward to my Bible study doing it. Thank you for putting it together. Thank you for your love for the Lord and the way in which you all the time spend all of your time and energy telling others about him.
Thank you. I'm so encouraged and blessed by your program and this segment. Thank you.
Thank you. Trillia Neubel's been my guest. Her book is If God Is For Us, The Everlasting Truth of Our Great Salvation, a 6-week Bible study of Romans 8. That wraps up our show. Thank you for listening. Thanks to all my outstanding guests who made today's show so wonderful. If you missed any of it, head over to myfaithradio.com and you can hear any of the previous parts of the show you may have missed. Have a great night, everybody. I will see you tomorrow. God bless.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. Many moms today are dealing with incredible pressure. Here's some encouragement from author and speaker Sherry Surrett.
Don't do mom alone. Whether you are a stay-at-home mom or whether you're a mom who does work outside the home as well, your job as a mom is incredibly important, and you need to connect with other moms, with other reasonable voices who understand you and who can kind of help you come back down to reality about really what does it mean to be a good mom. There is no perfect to achieve. There is no such thing as the perfect mom. You need to be who God called you to be, and you need to be you as a mom, and you need to take time to realize, who am I and what is it that I do best? And you lean into that. And you really do need to get your eyes off of other moms and stop the comparing.
More from Sherry Surratt can be heard at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.